Hello, everyone. Welcome back. It's the Philosopher's Stone podcast episode. What would you reckon, Sam? What episode is this?
Going off the top of my head, I think this is season 4, episode 17.
No. Season 4? Have we been doing this for 4 years?
No, but we only do like 30-ish episodes a season.
Okay. When did we start? I think we have been doing this since 2020, haven't we?
Yeah, maybe we have been doing it a while.
Longer than that.
Yeah, once a week. Well, 30 episodes per season.
Okay, well, we just hit our 100th episode not long ago. So I'm going to say we're at 117.
Yeah. I mean, like season 4, I think we're at 17 into season 4. So yeah, maybe it is 170 total. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the seasons for podcasts.
Yeah, I don't like it either. I don't know why I did that.
I know we did a season 2 because we got new artwork, but I don't think it matters.
No, it's annoying because like I'm watching this other podcast that is in season format.
Yeah.
They're so annoying because every week they're like, next week is going to be the last episode of season 1. And then next week they're like, actually, we're going to do another one.
What podcast is that so I can avoid it?
It's called Weaponized.
Is it a political?
No, it's a UFO podcast.
No wonder you're all jacked up on UFO news.
Well, no, their season, they actually did finally end their season. So I haven't been getting this from them. This has just been from my other sources. I have many UFO sources.
Do you have any UFOs to speak of?
Well, if I told you that information, it would be illegal and I'd be in prison.
I stand by this. I think if aliens have come here, we wouldn't know, and they would have no reason to. And it's just, I still think that the vastness of the universe is widely underestimated when discussing these things.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention the size and time passing at different rates, right? For us, it could be only a couple of, go. Say your things, Sam.
Here's my thing, right? Okay, here's my thing.
Okay.
This has been studied a lot, and even if a alien civilization didn't have any way to travel faster than light, like they didn't have wormhole technology or anything like that, or some sort of weird interdimensional shortcut they could take.
Yeah.
Even if they don't have that, it's easily possible for an alien race to have settled or put probes, right? Parked probes in solar systems across the galaxy within 100,000 years or so. That's been calculated. That's not a stretch. Unknown if there could any be organic living beings surviving on these drones, right? But these drones could be parked all over the galaxy within 100,000 years at sublight speeds. No problem. And they could be self-replicating, or they could be beacons, you know, what have you. But it's very plausible that the whole galaxy could be full of drones just parked in solar systems.
So what are they waiting for is my next question. Because here's the thing is I think it's pretty much a widely accepted fact that we will never be able to reach any aliens that don't live in our actual galaxy aren't going to be able to get to us without any sort of, unless they have some sort of transdimensional travel system, right?
Yeah, the spaces between galaxies is like a whole nother ballgame. Yeah.
Yeah. And aren't they going away from, like, isn't our nearest galaxy? Okay, our nearest galaxy is coming towards us. I know that, right?
Andromeda. We're scheduled for a collision.
We're scheduled for a collision. Check the schedule. But most other galaxies are going away from us at speeds, and we're going away from them. And so even if you could travel at the speed of light, you couldn't reach them. That's my understanding.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So for
that
kind of
thing, restricted to our own galaxy and maybe Andromeda, as far as which aliens that exist can even potentially interact with us. That being said, if they have some sort of dimensional warping technology, maybe they can jump from one galaxy to another galaxy.
Yeah, that would be the only thing, is if you can have like a wormhole kind of thing, where you can take a shortcut. somehow yes. through space time through another.
I dimension. Love that in movies they always do that thing where they fold the piece of paper, then they puncture a hole through it, as if that's making anything fucking clearer at all.
a wrinkle in time. Yeah,
they did it in Interstellar.
They did it as well.
Yeah. They always do that, and I'm like, all right, I see what you've done there, and it still doesn't make any sense to me. You're gonna fold space like a piece of paper.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know. It's impossible to. I can't imagine, like, folding a paper is like so different from what they actually mean.
Yeah, I know. That's what I assume is that this cannot be a one-to-one like metaphor here. Like there's.
Yeah, it's so preposterous. I don't know. I can't speculate on like what the intentions would be for aliens to be on Earth, or like their robots to be here or something. But it's totally plausible, in my opinion.
It's also plausible that there's a bunch of they're all drones, but the home civilization died off millions of years ago, and these things are just out of automatons running around, running amok, but have no real, I want to say prerogative, but that's not the word I'm looking for. When you give a computer, a robot, a task, they always say in sci-fi, that's my, not
protocol,
not my protocol
programming.
No, not programming, not prerogative.
That's not my,
what is it? It's almost like a military term.
That's not my bag, baby.
It'd be great if they spoke to us like that. I got to do some Googling here. Word for mission, I don't know, or purpose. Keyword.
Purpose.
That's not my.
Priority?
Priority.
Prerogative, maybe prerogative?
I've just been saying it's not prerogative.
Huh. C-3PO. What is
tenth objective? Say? Objective is kind of getting closer. I feel like, someone please write it.
Someone's
in
probably our jet email. Screaming right now.
it's a technical term. I don't know. I'm never gonna find it.
Paradigm. That is not my.
Paradigm now. This is going to come to me at like 3 a.m. tomorrow night.
Jesus Christ. Ask ChatGPT.
ChatGPT.
Give me a list of words to start with P that mean tell a robot to do something.
Okay. Hang on. Can you tell me some P words that mean mission or programming or I'll use provocative. I don't know how to spell prerogative.
Parameters.
No.
That is not in my mission parameters.
Purpose, project, plan, priority, protocol, principle, procedure, pursuit. Fuck, none of those make. They're not ringing any bells. I might be losing my mind here.
I think this is a phantom word.
Someone, if you know the word I'm thinking of, please direct message me on Facebook. I don't even care if you know me or not. That is not my. Whatever.
I have to plead ignorance on this one.
Plan? It's another word for plan, maybe. I'm still going through here.
Okay.
Protocol. It was protocol.
Yeah, I think it's protocol. But like what you just said is like that is like one of the theories is it's just like a. They're called the idea was von Neumann. He was like a brilliant mathematician, physicist.
Yeah.
And he came up with the idea of like, you can make a self-replicating probe, send it out into space, and it can harvest materials from asteroids and planets and stuff and make copies of itself and then spread those out further. And you can have the whole galaxy seeded with those things.
Yeah, but wouldn't we be seeing more evidence of that by now? These little guys flying around?
That is the thing. That is the question. Are the reported sightings of that or not? Because there's tons of reported sightings. So
it's one of those things where it's like the likelihood is it's just far more likely that it's just other humans making stuff.
Yeah, in which case it's still a huge story. because
you're talking specifically about the ones that are being spotted over like military bases.
Yeah, these are the, well, these are the ones they've officially, these have been officially admitted to by Department of Energy senators. There are, they call them drones, but they don't know what, or they don't say if they know what nation they're from or how they work or anything.
Anonymous like that. Drone.
They call them drones, and they can't get a read on what they are. And they've got multiple pilots have encountered them up close. Don't really know what they are, or they're too far away. Like they see them, but they're too far away to gauge what they are.
So why, what's the rationale to jump to alien over humans made something we haven't seen before?
From my perspective, the reason for that jump is that these sightings aren't new. And people who worked at bases and nuclear sites have reported them going back all the way to the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. That these things would show up, the nuclear weapon systems would arm themselves and then de-arm without the control of the people in command of the base.
That's then, terrifying.
Yeah, so those reports are from like, you know, credible witnesses and stuff like that, but they're not confirmed by the government or anything. Those are denied.
Here's the thing. I have no trouble believing that people are seeing stuff that they can't explain. But I still find the jump from not being able to explain something to extraterrestrial to be a massive one.
Yeah. And that's the thing is no one wants to, I think that they are extraterrestrial, but from the public's perspective, we can't make that conclusion yet because we just don't know. We don't have all the information.
Why do you think it's extraterrestrial?
Well,
the more fun thing to think.
What? Okay, yeah. Besides the more fun thing to think, I actually don't think it's fun. I think it's fucking terrifying. But
people get scared for fun all the time.
Yeah, true. I tend to give it credence because mainly because of the high credibility of people who have reported either sightings or knowledge of programs. So that's David Grush, Ryan Graves, David Fravor, who all testified in Congress about it. And then also tons and tons of retired military people talking about it. So I just feel like there's too much stuff going on. Plus, you know, Schumer, the Senate Majority Leader, Democrat,
Amy Schumer?
Amy Schumer.
Oh, okay.
her dad, no. he's like the top senator. He's in something called the Gang of Eight.
What? Amy Schumer's dad.
No. Just same, no relation.
Okay. Well, things are starting to make sense now for her career.
No, so he's the Senate Majority Leader, right? Gang of Eight. The Gang of Eight in the Senate, they're on the Intelligence Committee, and they are supposed to be able to be read into any secret program in the government. And he, along with a Republican senator, put through a bill last year that said the government knows more about UAPs than it has told the public. And there's questions about NHI, non-human intelligence, and we want answers. Including eminent domain over any retrieved materials. That bill was gutted in the House by Republicans who represent districts with huge Department of Defense contracts.
Uh-huh.
Specifically to take out the eminent domain thing, which said the government gets to have any materials that you have recovered or that you were given by the government previously.
So they squashed the bill because they don't want the government to have exclusive rights to alien weaponry or technology.
Or like recovered material. I mean, that's what I read into it because they specifically took out provisions like that.
But there could be other reasons for taking those out.
There could, well, yeah, I mean, one reason is, right, like, it could be totally legal for the for those companies to have those materials, in which case it would be government overreach to seize them.
Right.
But anyway, that's why I give it credence, because there's things are moving in Congress from very credible people who are not crazy. And it's moving in a direction where it's like they're trying to get at something that they just can't get.
Doesn't it seem weird to you that everything seems to be coming to a head on almost every front in the human society, as far as like the, you know, the globalization of everything, everybody's so connected with the internet, the effect social media has had on dividing people and almost causing a legitimate schism in reality for lots of people, as far as social media feeding you so much propaganda from one bias or another that you don't have an accurate view of what's really happening in the world. I don't think anyone does at this point. The birth of AI and potential AGI, and then now is the time that aliens are coming into the fold too. Like, it all just seems so like this couldn't, well, you can't write this shit.
Okay, well, I said I was scared about the aliens thing, but I can put cold water on it, I think.
You and can put cold water on it? That's how they killed them in Signs.
Oh my God. Why would aliens who are like fatal to water come to Earth?
It's like that. I was just watching War of the Worlds. It's like, did you guys not do any research before you came here? Jesus,
good idiots. Can take an atmospheric sample or something, but yeah. Come on.
Like, why don't you test the waters, so to speak, before you bring your whole civilization here?
They're exactly like those stupid scientists in the alien movies who just like run out of the spaceship and start frolicking.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this looks like our planet. It must be our planet. Exactly. Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. So the cold water would be that if you believe the hypothesis that these are drones, right? Non-human intelligent drones that have sort of been seeded throughout the galaxy. Then I think there's not much reason to be concerned, because they probably have no interest in us whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably a lot, if we're going to go with if we're going to say it's a fact that there's other alien civilizations, inhabiting our galaxy, which I would believe that is probably true. I really doubt that we are anything special when it comes to,
yeah,
what we, I mean, are we, as we a could, species.
Yeah, like we could literally be just something to collect research data on.
Yeah.
Like we collect it from other species.
Yes. We are the townies of the galaxy. We've just never left our solar system. We have a very narrow mind. It's like, I think I used to do a joke about this. Probably wasn't a good one, but the premise was that we're just not cool enough. It's like we're the little brother that like really wants to hang out with the older brother's friends, but they never want to because we're just super lame and annoying. It's like, why would you guys want to hang out with us? Yeah. Here's a question for you. I'm still watching the Three Body Problem show. We've only done three episodes, but so far I like it. But still the best First Contact story I've ever encountered with, because it doesn't end with, oh, they're freaking, they don't like the bees.
Ah,
they're all allergic to bees.
Oh man, yeah, you should watch Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
I've seen the fourth. Have you ever seen the Fourth Kind? It's like a found footage horror movie of people that are interviewed after being abducted by aliens. It was actually terrifying.
Yeah, that is super scary. Close Encounters of the Third Kind is like the opposite of that.
Okay.
It's like Steven Spielberg does an alien movie. The aliens are nice.
Right.
He did War of the Worlds as well. Never mind.
Yeah, and he also did Super 8. Wasn't that an alien?
That was J.J. Abrams.
Oh, but, never mind.
Well, Spielberg did E.T. and Close Encounters, and those are both nice alien.
Nice aliens. Like I said, I just watched War of the Worlds. The visuals, they hold up really well. Like, It's kind of seems like we haven't really made, and that's almost a 20-year-old movie now. Is it 20 years old? I just whipped that out of my ass. Hang on a second.
No, that'd be about right. It was a post 9/11 film.
I was like, the visuals I see now are not, it doesn't compute to me that they're 20 years more, in quotes, advanced than those ones. Because those ones, I think what's happening is people are starting to hopefully realize that you can't rely entirely on CGI for, if you want anything to look believably. You need to have, CGI is a tool to help the practical.
Yeah.
All the best films do it that way.
Yes, you're so right. All the best films have huge use of like miniatures, paintings, stuff like that. Yeah.
And then you use CGI to like take it to the next level, but you don't rely, like if you just rely heavily on CGI, then you're getting into the, like all the latest Marvel movies are just terrible. And this is part of that reason is that they're not believable. You don't feel like you're grounded in them because there's like nothing real about them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. We can always tell the difference. At least, I saw the new Planet of the Apes film recently, and the ape CGI.
Yeah,
that is better than practical effects. It just is. Like you can't put a person in ape makeup and have them have facial expressions like.
Yes, like I mean CGI for especially like animals and monster faces. Will always be better than like the animatronic alternative. Just not enough fluidity with robotics.
Maybe that's a good thing. I don't think it would be a good thing if we could make an artificial face that looks.
I mean, they've got pretty good ones now. They do have good ones now, but they're still like.
But can I do the expressions and everything? Like, what?
I'll send you a link after this. There's one that's like quite good at like looking surprised or interested or frustrated. It's actually uncanny. I mean, it's literally in the uncanny valley. But it's getting closer. Funny. It's close enough that if you had a sufficiently intelligent AI and this face and you left me in a room with it, I could feel comfortable talking to it as if it's a human.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I need to know that there's like actually someone sharing the experience.
I don't think that's going to be end up being as important to people as we might think.
We're all going to evolve into people who don't think others have minds.
Let me cast your mind. Cast your mind back to a film called Castaway for a moment. That volleyball, arguably. Not very convincing human being, right?
Wilson was a volleyball?
My point being is that if you invest emotion in something that's not conscious, it still feels like you're any kid that's had a, you know, a freaking teddy bear or something growing up can tell you that it you can make an emotional attachment to something that isn't conscious. And feel as deeply about it as you could about other humans in some cases.
Yeah, but if Tom Hanks had any other person on that island, they would have been playing with
you. You don't know that. It would have depends on the person. I'm gonna go hang out with my volleyball. You're annoying.
That's true.
If it came down to Wilson and some annoying guy on the raft, I think he would have pushed the guy off the raft.
Plotting with Wilson. Yeah. I hate Gary. He's such an asshole.
To get back, Gary's wife is like, "Where's Gary? Ah, oh, there wasn't enough room. I had to say Wilson holds up this volleyball." That would be good. Okay, here's a question for you. What do you think would be three scenarios involving aliens? I want to hear what your take on humanity's reaction to the three scenarios. Okay.
Okay.
Scenario one, it's proven beyond a doubt that aliens were here before the modern age. So before globalization and the internet and TV and stuff. Okay. So we're talking maybe they came around the medieval age. And we find hard evidence that that happened. Okay. That's one scenario.
Archaeological dig finds a UFO surrounded by medieval relics.
Yes.
Date it. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it.
Okay, that's scenario one. What do you think the general reaction would be, and what would be the effect? What would be the ripple effect of a discovery like that?
It's interesting. I think it depends a bit. Well, I mean, okay, there's a bunch of things, right? You could think, what's the social impact on, like, say, religion, for example.
Yes.
It would force, I think it would be a little humbling in the sense that to learn that there is non-human intelligence would make people have to realize, like, okay, maybe it doesn't necessarily mean, like, God is not real, but it would just have to mean God's picture is a little bigger than maybe you thought.
I think people would immediately fold this new information right into their religions that already exist. They would just find scriptures that they could ring out some alien content from.
Well, I mean, the Catholic Church is already, like, they already have a position on this, which is that God made the aliens too.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the position. I don't think that this discovery would, I'm sure it would rattle a lot of people's, like, foundation in their religion, but I think most people would, I don't think it would, like, end religion or anything by any means.
No, I don't think so. I think religious beliefs, if you have them, they tend to get strengthened by, they're like, there's a real phenomenon where if something would apparently contradict a deeply held belief, it actually strengthens it instead.
Yeah. It's such an ingrained part of our history. It's like, it would take a real, it's funny how some people, like, individuals can break out of the religious thought patterns and beliefs if they really put, you know, do some independent research as far as independent from the church. But to get a whole swath of people to leave religion at once would be very difficult. Like, there's nothing you could say at the pulpit to that everybody in that church would become agnostic by the end of your speech.
No, that's true. Yeah, the pastor can't do that. Yeah,
yeah, it's always a slow unfolding of previously held beliefs when being exposed to new information and ideas. It's never like, there's nothing, I've never heard of anyone being like a staunch religious person and then one event completely eradicates their faith.
Yeah, it would have to be something pretty weird and on the nose.
Yes.
And yeah. Yeah, so I think on religion, I think it would probably strengthen people's religions. I think other religions are perfectly compatible with there being aliens, so they probably wouldn't be affected at all.
Like, I don't think any Buddhists would really, I don't think they would even lose a, I don't even think they'd do a spit take.
No. Yeah, exactly. I think what would be maybe more interesting, and something that I thought was, like, I can't remember where I heard who said this or whatever, but suppose you could have like a UFO and it has like incredible technology for energy generation, for example.
Yeah.
Like so-called free energy. So I was thinking about that. And if there was like a free energy source like that, that could produce tons of energy and it didn't cost anything and it didn't have waste, would that save the world, or would the people who found it consider it so dangerous that they would keep it a secret?
I don't know if they would consider it dangerous unless the danger is to their own bank accounts. I mean, energy is like the main source of wielding power in this world. If energy was unlimited and free for everyone, there would be a lot less leverage when trying to hold positions of power.
Sort of, yeah. So you're sort of, it's sort of like you're saying, like, free energy is to, like, the energy elites as like a cure for cancer, or the common cold would be for big pharma.
Big pharma, yeah. I think eventually we'll get there, but I think that it's going to take I think we could have gotten there on both those fronts by now if greed wasn't such a festering disease in humanity's core.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And that is like, yeah, like if an oil company, for example, had, or like if some companies were in cahoots and they're like, look, we know how to make free energy, but we can't make any money off of it. So let's keep it a secret and keep selling gas.
I think that's probably already the case.
Yeah.
There's enough. We already know there's enough. If we invested heavily in solar energy, there's enough of that to power our world. And then, yeah. Some, right. And yeah. We wouldn't even have to take up that much space. If we just sacrificed a plot of land, like the size of I'm whipping this number out of this. I know it's not that big. It's a big piece of land, but it's not as big as you think. It's like, take your least favorite state in America and just fill it with solar panels, and that's the world's energy source.
All right. Arizona. See you later.
Arizona?
There's nothing good in Arizona. Oh, Arkansas.
Arizona? You know what's good about Arizona?
Arizona State University?
I was going to say Breaking Bad, but I think that was New Mexico, wasn't it?
Albuquerque, New Mexico. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind. Yeah, you're right.
See, there's nothing in Arizona. We're
sacrificing Arizona.
The Grand Canyon and Las Vegas are in Nevada. And yeah, Albuquerque's in New Mexico. So.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I think that it's going to take a few generations of attitude change, basically. I think that the Gen Z's coming up right now are basically the most privy to kind of global scale corruption than any other generation at their age was.
Yeah. So they are aware of that. Yeah.
Yes.
It's hard to keep it quiet, and they're the most
vocal.
I hope so. I have faith.
I'm hoping that Gen Z, once they're out of their annoying phase, become very good.
Yes.
A very competent and capable generation that is the harbinger of actual positive change.
Yes. And I hope they are not raised to automatically go to it's a preposterous idea that there could be aliens.
Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's how it is. I think most people are too open-minded right now. We got to close those minds a little bit. Let's stay based in reality here, but
yeah.
I think people are a lot more open than ever before.
I hope so. Going back, the other aspect, so there's two kinds of danger to this. There's the one point that you made that's really good, that it will affect the power balance and people who have power might lose it and they don't like that. But there's another sense in that which that's dangerous, is that if you consider, right, like atomic fission, that's a huge energy source.
Mm-hmm.
Fusion, huge energy source. What have we primarily used it for? Bombs.
Yep.
Right. So if you find a quote unquote, like an unlimited energy source or something, the first thing the government thinks about that is people are going to turn this into a weapon.
Yeah. And they're not wrong.
So in a sense, I think that is the primary reason why it would be.
But the difference between nuclear fission and say an alien level unlimited energy source is what do you stand to gain if you don't need any other resources anymore? Why would you go to war?
Well, think about it. Why would you go to war if you don't? Well, you if still
every
need
country now has unlimited energy.
Do they? Who recovered these crafts and these technologies?
Well, they sneak it out, like those guys that snuck the silkworms out of China. I guess it would entirely depend on the nature of the technology and how, is it
That's
a small,
so crazy.
Is it a small thing? Does it take something the size of a skyscraper to operate? Is it going to be held in a handheld device, unlimited energy? Is it like Iron Man's little chest thing? His ornament?
Well, I don't know. If you believe the reports, then they don't know. There's no propulsion systems or steering or anything like that that's apparent, but they can accelerate to speeds that are just absolutely preposterous.
which
and pass you, through mediums without friction.
See, yeah, that's just like, to me, that seems like it's almost like a energy source that is so efficient that you could, it doesn't need a lot of energy to power. You know, it doesn't need a lot of resource to power. It's so efficient.
Yeah.
That's what I would assume.
Yeah. But okay. You can think about like, that could be, I mean, in science fiction, the ultimate weapon is like an asteroid that's accelerated to relativistic speeds and shot at a planet. Like a small, like a rock, right? So if you can do that, that's the ultimate weapon.
Well, spoiler alert to anyone who's reading Three Body Problem here. But do you remember how the main climax of the story? Do you remember what happens there?
Oh, at the end of the show or the...
No, it's in the middle of the second book.
I haven't read the books.
Do you remember anything about the teardrops?
Yes. Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
So this is like my favorite moment of that entire series is this was the third scenario I was going to say. What would the impact of knowing aliens are on their way have on society? And I think Three Body Problem is like the perfect series to explain what could look like. But eventually, so humanity has 400 years before the aliens arrive. The aliens send out these things called teardrops, and they look exactly like a mercury drop, like a just silver mirror finish in the shape of a teardrop the size of a car. That's all it is. The aliens send those out ahead. So they arrive in our galaxy, I think it's like 100 years before the aliens actually are in our solar system, before the aliens get there. So they're just these... And by now, it's been, I think, 300 years since humans learned that aliens were coming. So they've beefed up they've unified, they've invested in all the technology they can to build super star destroyers and like huge space fleets to the point where by the time the teardrop shows up, everybody on Earth is confident that they would destroy the alien fleet as soon as it arrived anyways, right? That's how confident humanity has become.
Yeah,
about unifying and working together and building these space fleets. So they have this massive armada of starships, highly powerful weaponry on them, right? And this singular teardrop, the size of a car, shows up in the galaxy. And they show up, and the scientists go, and they're like, oh, this looks like it must be a peace offering from the aliens, because obviously they know how jacked up we've gotten since we've learned the news that they're coming. Look at the size of our space armada. So they go up, and the scientists go up to this teardrop, and they start looking at it, and they notice that they can't see any cracks or it's like so incredibly smooth that they've never seen anything like it. There's literally no bumps, no creases. It's like you cannot get smoother. And so they put a microscope to it. They still can't see anything in between. They can't see any molecules, any particles. It's just a sheer wall of silver. They look even further into it. So they get more and more powerful microscopes, like electron microscopes, like that stuff you look at, like you go to look at like literally microbes with, and they still see nothing but the sheer silver. So they realize that this material is so dense that they have never, it's like beyond what they thought was possible. And that's when they realize that it's not a peace offering. It's a display of how much further advanced they are. And as soon as they come to that conclusion, this teardrops just starts ripping through their entire armada at like super, super fast speeds. And there's nothing they can do to stop it. It just goes and rips through every single ship one by one until all of humanity's space fleet is completely destroyed by this one object the size of a car.
Yeah.
And that is when humanity realizes just how fucked they are. Because that's not even the aliens arriving. That's just one object from their civilization. The first object that actually arrived to humanity's civilization was able to destroy their entire defense plan.
Mm-hmm.
Just by crashing into them. No weaponry, no lasers, no guns, just this silver bullet just ripping through everything. And it's such a high dense object that it like, there's nothing that they could have possibly built that this thing wouldn't be able to penetrate. And that is like the whole turning point of the book, because that's when humanity starts. They just go from thinking they're top shit in the universe to realizing how far behind they actually are when it comes to the cosmic sense of strength. And that's what you were talking about. Basically, as all you need is something, a super dense object traveling at high speeds, and that there's like basically nothing anything can do about it.
Yeah, pretty much. So it's pretty terrifying, right? Like it's the potential for weapons, energy is huge.
Mm-hmm. And that's not even the scariest weapon in that series, which is crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts. I think the main questions people would have would be what technology has been found from this, and could it be making people's lives better? I think that's what the biggest question is from, like, if anything was recovered. Like, we know, like, the government will be trying to use it to make weapons, but could we use this to make people's lives better? I think that's
right. I think it would have to, like I said, it's going to take basically a couple generations, like the boomers, dying off, because their mindset is, you know, I suppose for the time it might have been progressive, but it was like for something like that. I mean, it's becoming so obvious that the democracy is kind of a sham when it comes to, like, maybe not a total sham, but like the corporations are the ones that are making the big decisions. That seems obvious. Wouldn't you say? Like, the money is really where the power is, and people can be bought. And when you have people like Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk, you think that them chucking a billion at some politician is out of their wheelhouse to get what they want?
Hey, I think the billionaires are definitely have way more power than they should. And yes, those corporations like Amazon, Apple, I think they're way too big. They're monopolies that do not benefit the consumer.
Yes. And I think that they probably have a way bigger influence on government than we would like to admit.
Yeah, they do. They are necessary to, that's the problem, right? Is we think they're our friends, but really they're not. And they don't have any country that they have loyalty to. That's right. The real problem.
Their loyalty is to their shareholders. Yeah. Anyways, the fact that like there's only like five corporations that own like every company on the planet, this is all becoming kind of common knowledge. And
yeah,
like I said, when Gen Z and Gen A become like full adults, I think they're going to have a much lower tolerance for that type of thing. And by the time Gen A is our age, we're going to be, people from our generation are basically going to be running the government.
You can only hope. I mean, it seems like if Gen Z wants to run the government, they're going to have to wait till they're 80 years old. But
yeah, but by the time, you know, 80 is going to be like your midpoint in life at that point.
Yeah, true.
And I don't know, maybe AI will... That's another whole curveball. It's like this whole AI thing is like, is it a kind of a nothing burger at the end of the day, or is it going to be as big of a change as people are hyping it up to be?
I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
I feel like a lot of AI applications are just not, they're going to change things, but the way they're going to change things isn't going to be glamorous or interesting. They're just going to help people accomplish projects faster.
Yeah, that's what I'm starting to feel like too, is like, but again, I've been seeing that there's new, one of the problems with AI is I didn't come to this conclusion myself. This is stuff I watched on YouTube mostly, but AI teaches itself by scraping the internet for data, right? But AI is also producing so much data that it's starting to learn from itself, and it's becoming less and less reliable because AI is in its nature not as reliable as, you know, it should be. So, but it's like becoming exponentially more unreliable because it's starting to feed off itself.
Yeah, I think they call that the hallucination problem.
Oh, really? There's a name for it.
Yeah, that's a known problem. Yeah, it's one of the biggest problems.
So I don't know what that means in the long run. If that means there is kind of a limit to the capabilities that AI can actually bring us.
Yeah, I mean, the kind that has all the juice right now are these large language models.
But yeah,
those do not, from what I understand, those do not think like humans think.
No, so, they're predictive. They're predictive.
Yeah, they're different. So it could be possible. Like, the thing with AI is it goes through these spurts where they make some progress on it, and then there's what they call an AI winter. There's less progress, and then it gets going again, and it's going again right now. But this might peter out a bit, and then we'll still have all the language models and all the gains that have been made from that. But maybe we've found the limit of what this kind of AI can do.
And yeah,
the next generation of AI will be even more human-like in how it
thinks. I do know that NVIDIA has recently released one of the most powerful computer chips by a huge, huge margin recently. And the way that they're hyping it up is that with these new types of computer chips, it's like a billion times more powerful or some crazy number than the shit we're using right now. They're claiming that this will be what powers the next phase of AI. Anyways, I hope that my hope for AI is that it fucks off from the world of art, basically, or people get bored of AI art, or it becomes bad at art because it keeps feeding off other AI art and it just becomes this kind of fucking soupy mess. That's what I hope for that. But I hope that the advances it made, like, because there's already been proven that it's really good at diagnosing medical problems and coming up with solutions for medical stuff faster than humans. So that's the type of shit I want to see come out of AI, is advancements and basically like medical. I want to see some medical breakthroughs, like big ones. I don't want to see, you know, I don't need a Drake album that's entirely AI generated. I don't need that.
You can generate your own Drake album.
Everybody can right now.
Yeah.
I don't know why you would, but it's one of those things where it's like, it's going to be so lame if some one day you're bored and like, I wish Kendrick released a new album. Oh, wait, he's about to, because I'm about to press this button. Beep.
Give me a nice angry Kendrick album.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hope it fucks off from art, kind of, and unless it's being used to give artists with a low budget a wider scope of ability to, say, make their true creative vision come to life. You know what I mean? Like, say someone has a great once in a lifetime story, but they don't have any credibility or resources or money to make it come to being. It would be cool if AI allowed someone like that to actually make their creative ideas a reality. Somehow without ripping off other artists. That would be ideal.
That would be cool. Yeah. You can make your own movie.
We kind of touched on scenario 3, where aliens are on their way and how humanity would react to that. Basically, three-body problem, I find, is probably the coolest version of that scenario unfolding.
Yeah, I think three-body problem is pretty spot on for like how humanity would react to an alien invasion.
Yeah, it goes deep. And it goes through so many they call it eras. Before the aliens even get there, the humanity goes through such big like ups and downs in reaction to this news, like huge ups and downs, like pinnacle of humanity to everybody's dying in the streets before the aliens even get there. And I think that's probably the type of effect that news would actually have. Scenario 2, though. Okay. we confirm that aliens are currently inhabiting the Earth.
In the, like, James Cameron style, like The Abyss?
I haven't seen that movie. I'm thinking more they're amongst us.
Spoiler alert, sorry. like V, the show V.
I don't remember V.
V is like there are alien reptiles that can shapeshift to look like people.
Yeah, maybe not shapeshifters per se, but they are living on planet Earth and basically
they're hiding from us. Yeah, there is a one of the many alien theories out there. Who knows what credence to give it, but it is that one of the alien species looks exactly like humans.
I think that would be unlikely, but also that if they have the ability to just look how they want to look, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. So what would our reaction be to that?
To that, what would civilization's reaction be to the confirmation that aliens are here and they are amongst us? I don't know about they could be your neighbor type situation. I just mean that
they're senators and stuff. You control the government or do you mean they just live in the forest or
like... It's sort of more like that. Like they don't really want to participate with humanity. They're just kind of watching us, but they are for sure.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay.
They don't have an agenda per se other than just observation.
Observation. Well, okay.
Or maybe they're so different from us that they can live on the same planet with us without us even knowing.
I think fear and hate and genocide.
I agree.
Where are all the other homo-like species? They're all gone. They're all extinct. That's true. I wonder why.
Man, imagine the great Neanderthal versus Homo sapien battles.
Oh, man.
I don't think... Did they have organized... Do you think they ever had like... they meet on a field and fight type situation?
No, there's no, I read a book about this, about prehistoric warfare, and it is all about ambushes and massacres as much as possible.
Right.
You do not give them a fair fight at all.
There was no etiquette back then, I don't think.
No, you set a fire out in the fields to get the men to go fight the fire, and then you invade the town, kill all the women and children, and leave.
You sound like you've done this before, Sam.
I think if we thought there were people that looked like us, but they weren't humans, we would be afraid of them, because if they can control when we see them, when we don't see them, that implies that they are higher on the food chain than we are.
Yes.
And our reaction,
they're completely separate from the food chain.
Or yeah, even separate from the food chain. But the point would be is we would see them as having some sort of control over us. And I think humans don't tolerate that.
How long until, say it's confirmed they're here, but we just can't for the life of us, we just can't find them. They're just too well hidden there. They have some sort of technology that makes them imperceptible to us. How long do you think it would take for society to just kind of accept that they're here and there's nothing we can do about it?
I think that would happen very quickly. And, I think people would adapt to that pretty quickly.
I think it would be like within 5 years.
Yeah. It would be like whale watching. You would just go to the desert and watch, try to find UFOs and stuff. They would probably become UFO religions and things like that.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there already are.
Yeah.
Imagine a creature that was so just barely even physical in nature but was still intelligent, like a shimmer on the wind. That was all you could detect from it.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew there was tons of them.
This sounds like a first episode of Star Trek Deep Space Nine, where they go into a wormhole and they encounter like aliens in the wormhole, and the aliens are not corporeal entities. And they don't exist in linear time. And so they are trying to understand like human concepts, like before and after, and they just can't get it.
Right. Another three body problem that reminded me of when the aliens are creating those sophons. Yeah. And they have to unfold them from smaller dimensions. And then at one point they unfold them from smaller dimensions and they can start seeing entities from those other dimensions, like flickering in and out of that dimension. Mm. It's just like, if something's so different from us that we can't even interact with it, but we know it's there. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird vibe.
It's really weird. Like it was explained so well in the Star Trek. He's trying to explain time. He's like, humans, we live at one moment in time. And when that moment is over, we can't go back to it. And the moments that are in the future don't exist yet. And we don't know what they're going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can only go forward. And the aliens, it's great to explain. Like, if you forget something to do something yesterday, you can't go back and do it. Like, you would just, like, say you forget your phone in the room and you walk out. And then you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot my phone. You go back and get it. We can do that because we're like a three-dimensional creature. A two-dimensional creature wouldn't be able to do it, but we can do it because we're three-dimensional.
Yeah. So you expand that out to four dimensions and then.
Yeah. It's like from their perspective, they can't understand, like, why don't you just go and do it yesterday?
Yeah. Like, well, isn't that kind of the premise to Arrival?
Yeah, that's about time as well, right? Like
the aliens don't experience time literally.
Yeah.
And then the main character who's like Rachel McAdams, no, not Rachel McAdams.
What's Amy her name? Adams.
Amy Adams.
Yeah.
She starts experiencing her life non-linearly at the end.
Yeah, so strange.
I don't know how you would function that living like that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the...
Where does even planning for the future even fit into that life? Why would you plan for anything if you could just change things at will?
It's so strange, right? So unfamiliar. But they did make a good point in the episode. They tie it all together because although, right, the captain's whole point to the aliens has been, we're linear, we live linearly in time, the aliens are like, yeah, but you keep going back in your memory to this one horrible event that happened. So maybe you're not as linear as you think. And that's the big emotional breakthrough for the captain.
That we keep going. We're non-linear in our thoughts.
In our mind, in our memory, we are non-linear. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of like our curse. Like, we have to keep going forward in time.
But we are able to look back.
But we can remember. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't go back.
But we can't cast our thoughts to the future. Yeah. Not an accurate future anyways.
No. But okay, speaking of time travel, I have to say, this is a whole nother theory. And I think this is the worst one of all, which is that if UFOs are real, they are future humans time traveling back.
Why is that the worst one?
Because I don't trust future humans.
I don't trust present humans. At least if there's future humans, we know that we made it, you know?
Yeah, hopefully. Like, made it into what? What
do we become?
Yeah, but what are these future humans? I don't
know. Well, if they come back and kill us, that would be concerning.
That would be bad, yeah.
But that's their version of going back and killing Hitler, is taking out 2024 humanity.
Pretty much everybody alive at this time was an asshole.
We don't need this. Okay, well, that's our episode. If the aliens are listening, write us an email. Or I don't even know how our email, I don't think our email is even operational anymore. Direct message me. Is it too much to ask for an alien to direct message me on Instagram?
They should be able to communicate telepathically with you, no problem.
Yeah, but how do I know if it's, how do I know it's them?
Yeah, that's a good point. They should have to hold up a today's newspaper with their name on it.
Okay. All right. That's our episode. We will talk to you next week.
Live long and prosper.
Yeah. If you can.
if you can.
Philosopher's Stone.